You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell the end in first then?
Good evening, everyone out there. You are listening to Rose City Native Radio. I am DJ Yellow Horse. I have an interesting show for you today. We hopefully will be having an interview live from the protests happening in Mauna Kea. And you know what? It's going to be interesting. We have interview, music, more, as always. So stick around. You know, I've been really feeling this song, and I might cut out in the middle of it, but this is Rez Trap House by Tchu here on Rose City Native Radio.
Oh,
And that was Red Moon High Tide by Ray Zaragoza. Right now, we have a special guest, Christopher Francisco. Hello, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, so do you want to introduce our guest?
I'm at this Kanaka over here at Perfect Harmony Tea Shop. Tea room, and he had some really good, interesting information about his people and Mauna Kea and the things that how their homeland was, how they were kidnapped, you know. And he has a lot of good information, you know, that the schools won't tell you, you know, like the United States government is not going to tell you. So it's like, they've been through a lot as indigenous people, the same we've been through in the United States, but their way, their issues are kind of a little different, and it's unique to this area. And so he broke it down for me yesterday and, you know, told me how things were at. But I'm pretty sure he'll be back on Thursday, so we really don't have, like, a lot of time to explain a lot of this stuff, but, you know, just ask questions, you know. And He's a free man, you know, and it's really interesting what he has to say. So here he is.
Hi.
Aloha. How's it?
Hi there. How's it going?
All is well from Hawaii.
That's great to hear. You're currently on, I don't know if Chris explained this, but this is KBOO, Rose City Native Radio, and we like to highlight the indigenous voice wherever we can, and it's wonderful to have you on the air with us to give your side of the story and explain, like Chris was saying, what the government doesn't want to say or explain at all. So if you want to give us a little more information on you and your story.
Okay, I can do that. My name is, I'm born and raised out in Hawaii. We call Moku'okeawe, so that's the big island out here in the Kingdom of Hawaiian Islands. I'm known as a Kanaka Mo'oli, and basically a descendant of the Aborigines, or the what people call the natives here. And, you know, that's the difference between people who may be, for example, 100% Japanese or Filipino and born here, that would be considered a Kanaka Hawaii. And if you were a foreigner, you'd be considered a Kanaka Haole. And so for example, I'd like to introduce myself as a Kanaka. We are Kanaka, but specifically a Kanaka Mo'oli, with my descendant, with my genealogy and my ancestors being tied to the kingdom of my great-great-grandparents, the kingdom of the Hawaiian Islands, out here in the middle of the Pacific, where we have Mauna Kea being the tip of that. So aloha from Hawaii, and thank you for having me.
Definitely. I think it's a great honor and a great opportunity for everyone to understand what's going on out there at the moment and know from a better perspective of how this is affecting you and your culture and your way and your lifestyle. And I don't know if you wanted to expand a little bit on that. I assume you've been able to go out to the camp out there and support everyone. But if you wanted to explain to our listeners out there how this deeply affects you and your way of living.
Okay, so how what's taking place now in Mauna Kea affects me personally.
Yeah.
That's a great question. You know, first of all, I'd like to say that what I say is definitely I speak for myself, you know, so I'm not representing
absolutely
a group or our hui or a kupuna or, you know, our people. To my observation with, you know, what I've experienced in my time and space, yeah, there's definitely a lot of effects taking place. One of the biggest effects is, of course, vocabulary, words, and syntax. So, for example, I'd share, like, we recently had The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, you know, up on Mauna Kea. We had Damian Marley up on Mauna Kea. We had who else? We had Aquaman up on Mauna Kea. So what we hear, one of the ways that affects us is what type of information makes it back to the media. And for example, we hear a lot of vocabulary like Native Hawaiians or the state, and maybe they might touch on words like the Kingdom of Hawaii, you know, which is, again, that country of our ancestors. And so one of the ways that it affects me is kind of like I was sharing with Chris here. For me, I introduce myself as a Kanaka Mo'oli. And the reason why is, you know, we might be so confused with words that we might describe ourselves as a Native Hawaiian. For example, that's taking place on Mauna Kea. For example, that's what The Rock described when he went on the Jimmy Fallon show. And that doesn't represent all of us. For example, I'm not a Native Hawaiian. That would be like calling Chris here a Native Indian. So I'd rather, it's just more specific to describe yourself as the maybe to your tribe, say a Sioux or an Apache or a Navajo. And I know Chris has a more ancient versus a traditional name to their culture as well. So one of the biggest effects, again, is words, because words is, you know, it's one of the most affordable and easiest way to change people and things. And since, you know, these words is all mixed up and we use vocabulary from our foreigners, one of the simplest way to put it is if we don't understand the language of people, whether it's Kanaka or anybody around the world, how can we understand their people? So I think the biggest way that affects us now is how it's being translated and the type of words is being used and the syntax, the positioning, placement, and choice of words. So that's been a big effect because for me, for example, I'm not a Native Hawaiian. So if we have a spokesman like The Rock or somebody out there speaking for all of us, then, for example, that really doesn't represent all of us. That's a Washington, D.C. definition to describe us versus describing us by the subject status we are from a kingdom that existed and still exists. Yep. That's one example.
That's great to know. I wanted to also know if you've been out there, and if you had been out there, what you may have seen, and that what you feel the rhetoric you want to get out there for, if you could speak, I guess, mainly on yourself, but just if you've been out to where everyone is protesting, and if you could summarize, or at least try to interpret, how that feeling may be of everyone joining together to protect what they have.
Okay, so I'll share a little bit about that. So what took place, let's say, when we got the proclamation from the governor of the state of Hawaii, he made a proclamation on Friday that Monday, which is July 15th, they would start, you know, the current process of trying to get the machines for TMT or the telescope up Mauna Kea. I just wanted to describe that time frame as, you know, I'm questioned if I was up there or not. A couple weeks before that, what took place is the, they had a sweep of what we call ahus, or even one of our hale that is up there. The hale is known as Hale o Kuhio, and it was a hale put up during our prince's birthday, Prince Kuhio, and that, along with some other ahu, was removed. So that's prior to this current event now. And I just, you know, wanted to touch on that, because not only was I there for this current event, but also a couple weeks prior, which is kind of like the trigger to all of this, where we started, we got word that they was headed up and planning to, you know, start their contract on moving the equipment up. So from that day, we may just see the news, you know, some people got arrested that day. And I was actually there around 3 o'clock in the morning, and nobody was there. Just me, my two dogs, one of my friends, and about 50 vehicles. I've just witnessed over 50 vehicles prior to that driving high speeds up to Mauna Kea at about 3 a.m. in the morning. And so now I'm there in my car, because I got what we call a kumu, my source. You know, that could be an intuition, that could be my ancestors, to go up to the boot, you know, or to Mauna Kea, which is right past the cattle gate where everything is taking place now. And there's a aina, a piece of land called Humu'ula. There's a booth there, Hale o Kuhio. And instead of going to the ahus, I drove to that booth. And just so happened, in 10 minutes, at about 3:10 a.m., next thing you know, I see over 50-plus cars driving almost 50 miles per hour. They're going to do the raid I'm talking about, or the sweep that I referred to. So this is the start of my personal experience leading up to the current events. And now I'm going to actually come face-to-face with what looks to be military, what looks to be HPD, DLNR, DHHL, and they actually surround me and not talk to me for over an hour. They start putting up yellow tapes around me. They're blocking my car, and they don't say one word to me for over an hour. Eventually, the sergeant comes up and lets me know that, you know, they get a job for do. And that's what we hear a lot, right? I'm just doing my job. You know, it's the common phrase now we're hearing. And that's what they told me. So I had a couple options: to leave or get arrested. You know, and I just quickly referenced that I was never asked while I was there, and I never got to ask why they was there. So I would at least like some type of, you know, warning or communication to break, you know, to start. So we had a communication, and long story short, after being completely blocked in, I was allowed to leave. I'm referencing 2 weeks or so prior to the current event on the sweep that had of all of our ahu, our podiums where we put, you know, a lot of our okupu, our gifts, and cooking, sacrifice, you know, pretty much a podium of where we do our blessings and our prayer, ahu. And those are being removed. And, you know, so being part of that, fast forward, and now we're in the current event. The current event is TNT up on Mauna Kea. So I'll touch on that a little. TNT is the 30-meter telescope. But the real name for TNT, if anybody simply looks it up, is KELT, which stands for the California Extra Large Telescope. And again, this wording is key. If everybody were to call it KELT versus TNT, it would be a big difference to me. If we call each other Kanaka Hawaii, Kanaka Mo'oli, it's a big difference versus Native Hawaiian and TNT. So it starts with our words and our vocabulary. That's what is affecting us the most, especially not knowing people because we don't understand their language. So how could you understand the people? So KELT actually originated as a partnership between couple countries, China, Japan, Canada, right, California. Now, if you look at the name of the telescope, it just says California. What happened to everybody else? So TNT is also known as KELT. So I would rather call it KELT. I'd rather call Chris, you know, a Navajo, or, you know, his more ancient term for his culture, versus use a term that is foreign to me and foreign to the project, like TNT or Native Hawaiian. It's almost impossible, actually, to, you know, construct or build the word Hawaiian utilizing the concepts of Olelo Hawaii, the Hawaiian language, or Olelo Hawaii, the language of Hawaii, for example. So again, TMT or KELT, this telescope, you know, has as of, like as previously said, as of July 15th, had a proclamation, an emergency proclamation from the governor here. And there's no real emergency. We recently had a bomb threat from Korea. We recently had lava flows, earthquakes. We have tsunami threats out here, hurricane threats. And us up on the Mauna was enough for him to consider and activate and put in play emergency proclamation. So, you know, that was July 15th, step four, right? He actually said this on that Friday, mm-hmm. which is the 12th. So we when we got the first word that they were going to actually start moving machines up in July, we were told it was going to happen on July 17th, which is a Wednesday. That was the day when it looked like the most arrests was going on. But if you look into the arrests, you never really get arrested. So that's what we hear in the news and we see. But really, people didn't even get tickets. So there's a lot of blackout in the media going on. There's a lot of controlled media going on. If I get to speak from my perspective. Okay, so it's kind of like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. You know, it's like 1963 and 2019. It's like people telling us what to do, what to say, what not to say, what time to show up, and how to fly the flag. And we're starting to see, you know, this controlled media going on. Personally, I wouldn't mind if Al Jazeera came down, Viceland came down, Time Magazine came down, Washington Post came down. Then we would have some alternative news. Right now, we have controlled news. So, Mauna Kea. What is Mauna Kea to us? Mauna Kea is the first thing we saw, or our ancestors saw, after the Great Flood, the famous epic, the same epic of Gilgamesh, An, and Leo, Enki, the same flood as Vishnu with Manu, as Zeus with Prometheus, as Yahweh with Noah. We have our own epic, our own flood, our own chants and stories. Mauna Kea, that's the mountain that was there after the flood. And there was also people who were there prior to the flood and survived it. It's also tied to one of our Akua, or gods, that is part of the trinity of our gods, or our Akua. God and Akua is like a played out name. I'm not Jehovah, it's just a consideration of a name that's used, you know, loosely when there's a real name, you know, whether it's Kiave, Yahweh, you know, there's lots of similar tones and matching names, but different alphabets, right? So it's like the epic. Was there seven floods or just one flood? Was there seven creation stories or just one? Was there seven forbidden fruit stories or just one? Well, it seems like Greece had their own, Persia had their own, Egypt had their own, Samaria had their own, Babylon had their own, the Hawaiian kingdom had their own, the kingdom of Hawaiian Islands. So Mauna Kea represents that, our flood story. It's tied to Waikea and Papa. Like I said, they're part of a trinity. They're the last trinity of the three trinities above them that represent different heavens, different realms, like the realm and the kingdom of agriculture, the kingdom of the underworld, the kingdom of the angels, the kingdom, you know, of port, darkness, of the sea, of the land, and Kanaloa, Lono, Ku, they all represent these different things. So when we talk Mauna Kea, we're going older in time. It's like a timeline. So one of the big things in this TNT case, or this TNT issue, is that they asked us to use science to prove our culture or explain our culture. So that's an issue if our culture is based on metaphysics versus physics. So if our culture is a culture of spirituality, let's say metaphysics behind science, right? Meta behind physics, science. So it's not physics, science. Yet the courtrooms ask us to use science to explain our culture. But let me share how I can explain our culture using metaphysics. Each of our Akua, maybe you may have heard of Pele, the lava goddess. Kane, right? Representing the sun, right? We got different Waikea, Haloa, representing the Kalo, Haloa Naka, the actual, the one represents the Kalo. Haloa is just an example of long life. And each of these things can be a person. It's a story. It's a chant. It's a thing. It's a Kalo. It's a king. It's a queen. And that's science. But if we were to reference metaphysics, they really represent creation stories. So if I go at Kane, and you learn the Kane chant, I welcome your listeners to go look up the Kane chant. The Kane chant talks about something similar to the Big Bang, where he's exploding a big star, and it's tied to that part of our creation. And, you know, later on, you know, and that's coming from darkness, you know, Po, what you call Po. So we believe Po was there first, darkness, and light was the movement in that darkness, you know, so that created the next elements. And this timeline, for example, now you get, you might have something like Haloa. So Haloa, first of all, Haloa Naka is more famous for the Kalo, our ancestor, the Kalo, the taro plant in a depiction or representation of our eldest ancestor. But prior to Haloa Naka, I mean, Haloa, there's Haloa Naka, and Haloa, which is the Kalo plant, and Haloa Naka, which is his brother, of that Kalo, his stillborn brother. So you have that story, or Mo'olelo, which is his story, but it's also an order story. It's tied to our creation, I guess. It's like, for example, God speaking human creation. Ha, Loa. Ha means breath, and Loa means thought, speaking, or speaking to creation, or breath into creation using breath, and not through our mouth, but through our nose. And that's a part in our time frame of creation. And then you get Pele. So here's where we can knock it out of the park. Pele, our goddess of fire or lava, was depicted like the sun. So when you get that depiction of lava from the core of the earth being as hot as or similar to the sun, You got to ask yourself, how did they discover that? To make chance of this depiction that the core of the earth is similar to the sun. And last but not least is Poliahu, our goddess of snow or mist. It is known to Tutankhamun, now and recently, once we go into Asia and talking about it, how our gourds or aquifers is restored through mist and not rain. And that's a chant from one of our Akua Poliahu, the Ka'ohe chant. Again, your listeners can look into it. The Ka'ohe chant talks about how the mist restored the Ka'ohe, the gourds, or the aquifers. So again, I'm just using Papa stories in three different ways. A story that we're told, it's a cute story of somebody or something, a tarot plant, a person. And I took the same story and turned it into a creation story on a timeline of creation. So, you know, again, Mauna Kea and Wakea is that deep for us. It represents our stories and our chants and our ancestors. And it's all still there in the land. And that's why our ancestors made sure that we held the land above everything. So we're servants of the land. The land is the master. Land is chief. We are its servants, Kanaka. Therefore, we use the land to ho'opulapula, which means rehabilitate. And we are from the land. Therefore, we are part of the land. Again, Aina means a provider, and we are its children. So that's a TMT, Mauna Kea, and a cultural aspect made religious. And it's scientific as well. So yeah, you know, I hope there's a little information in the Mana'u belief and Mo'olelo stories that your listeners can research. That way they can start to, you know, learn some of our chants and our tales and kind of understand our people and our way of life more. And, you know, like the court rooms and TMT, they might see that, you know, there's a difference between extended culture with science, when culture usually is behind science. And that's, you know, that's my way to put it, my observation again.
Yeah.
And I hope, again, that helps a little.
Absolutely. I learned quite a lot just listening from you, because I know one of the misconstruing points that the media has been putting out there, and I've heard a lot of people also say, is that those who are protesting are inhibiting science. And I couldn't believe that, because that's so far from the truth. No one who's currently protesting is against science, as you've wonderfully explained. And I think that it's great that you're here to let us know more from your side of how this really, this experience is going on. I don't know if you wanted to continue talking more about that, if there are any other recent issues that have evolved that you wanted to talk about, or just anything.
Yeah, I mean, I get one other perspective for sure, you know, and because we're on this subject and you give me a chance to share, you know, I mean, I'm grateful, first of all. Again, I just like touch back on being grateful and appreciative to the ancestors that came before us, all the ancestors and the genealogies and the children. All of us that is here. And, you know, up on Mauna Kea, to me, again, just this is a personal belief. I think it's getting a little sidetracked. You know, you can get nudged 1 degree, of course, and end up at a totally different destination.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of huis or groups up there. Like you say, you know, there's Kanaka from Oahu, different islands. There's Kanaka from Maui. There's Kanaka from Molokai. There's Kanaka from Oahu. You know, there's districts, right? You got east side, you got west side of the island. So each island and each, you know, you might know towns and cities, they kind of got their own ways to do things. But, you know, so up here, what we have is we do have this concept of Kapu Aloha, you know, where, you know, we have a bunch of groups, what we call huis, coming together and working together as one. So that's beautiful. I like to touch on that. share kapu. Kapu means kapu. When we say kapu, the way I always share from my kupuanas, our teachers, our elders, our kumu, our sources, kapu is like a claim. So when we, it's like calling shotgun when you jump in the car. Shotgun, right? It doesn't mean you got it, but you're trying to claim it. And that's what kapu is. So, you know, that's how I was shared the word kapu. That's a claim to governance or ownership. Again, that's an example, right? But that's absolutely. It's an example of kapu. So just so people understand, you know, what we're meaning by that. We're trying to all come together and keep our cool in a way, you know. But it's definitely something going on, right? You know, I mean, not something going on. It's just, it definitely takes a lot. So that's the beautiful thing about what's happening up on the mountain. And an additional to that, which is what, you know, that's what I want to share. That's not what I wanted to share. That's what I want to point out. That's very beautiful. But what I want to talk about again is I want to get back to some of the problems. Because that can be a big solution to a major problem. But like I said, if you're knocked a couple of degrees off course, you end up at a totally different destination. So some of the problems I would like to address is poverty, right? Homelessness, education, economics. Right now, out here in Hawaii, you know, it's harsh to say we're kidnapped, which is what Chris said, you know, which is what I said, so I'll touch on that. You know, when I told Chris, you know what, it looks like we're adopted, but we're really kidnapped. But I'll share my perspective on that. My cousin just came back from Egypt. He served in Iraq. So people want us to be supportive of this people, you know, of the troops. So my cousin, he's a troop. He went, you know, he's been going. For example, when America's troops go to other countries, they need to get briefed about that country. For example, in Egypt, you cannot carry guns in the bars. Now that's a problem, right? If you're a troop from another country, you might want to hold your gun. You might feel threatened not having your gun. So you know, you have a couple options: stay home. Stay at your post, right? Not take a gun. Right? So, you know, that's an issue, whether it's the sergeant or the military police, or it's the troops. You know, racial start to kick in. Somebody's going to act up, and that's why they got to get briefed. The thing is that I'm trying to point out is when they go to other countries, they utilize other countries' laws, because that's the rules of war. Geneva Conventions, Hague Committee. And what I mean by kidnapped and adopted is our kingdom is occupied right now. We wasn't adopted. We're kidnapped. Hijacked. It's the most documented heist from my perspective. I speak for myself. Not my kupuna, not anybody else. Not the whole group up on Mauna Kea. Right? Some people cannot chant. Some people cannot speak. The people of the people. They don't go to the schools, even though they qualify. So just like, you know, so with that topic, again, if we need to make sure those problems get those solutions. If The Rock is going to go up to the Mauna Kea, right? If Damian Marley is going to be there, then man, are we going to hear TMT and Native Hawaiians? Or are we going to talk about the Hawaiian Kingdom and Celt? Right? We're going to call our brothers Native Indians? Or are we going to call them by their tribal name? And that's what hurts most is some of our own people describe themselves with federal recognition vocabulary. Again, I'm personally not a Native Hawaiian. I'm not even a Hawaiian. I'm a Kanaka, specifically Kanaka Maoli. I'm a subject of the Hawaiian Kingdom, the Kingdom of Hawaiian Islands, the country of my ancestors. And I would like some of those topics, the Hawaiian Kingdom, Celt, the real name, right, to get out there. Additional to all the beautiful support, right, all the beautiful malama help that's going on, the kokua, right, people caring for each other, for others, right, feeding. Some people just come up and drop off stuff. I mean, it's magic up there. It's like herding cats. You know, it's like, you ever tried herding cats? That's kind of what's going on up there. And it's, once you get that to happen, our family work together, husband and wife, that's magic. So I don't like take away from the magic that's happening up there, but I like make sure we stay focused on the goal. And the goal is the problems. So, once we pow dance and do our posts and, you know, our chants and our singing and our songs and our music videos, oh, yeah, I can't wait till we get back to the real problems. Our land is being given away, right? So now we touched on the kidnapping concept. Now we start to touch on the land. When people don't understand the Hawaiian kingdom, we don't understand how the land works. You got to determine your source from the resources. Right? No matter if you call it a sun when sun, or you call it la, or you call it ra, it's still going to rise in the morning. But people get caught up calling them all these different things, sun, la, ra, right? In our language, if I were to ask most of the native Hawaiians, what is the word for sun? They'll probably say kala or la. But Kanaka Mo'oli, the people who might be a little bit more ancient than traditional, they know that it's ra. Because they changed our L from an R, our K's from a T, and our D. That's one of my jokes. I'm not a comedian, but, you know, story gets better. Fell in love with my dad. Right? I didn't have all the time, but, you know, I grew to love him. Raised in poverty, domestic violence, homelessness, lack of education, the stripping of our cultural practices. Oh, we could call that genocide. So with all of this compound trauma, stemming back from the overthrow of our kingdom, the country of our ancestors, that's the topic. But I like to say we're beating around the bush. Hey, right now we're dancing around the bush. And if we keep this up, we're going to be beating around that bush. So yes, if I could put my two cents out to the public and to the people and take this chance to say something, I hope we stay on course. And we take care of some of these major problems with that major solution we have if we utilize the opportunity to. But you got to be creative, you know. There's lots going on up there. Lots of talk, one of our anakala said, our uncle is Uncle Skippy. Lots of talk going on up there, right? Some people are saying smoke and mirrors, dog and pony show. That's because there's so much going on, it's hard to get a grip about what's happening. I get people texting me to say, oh, I'm going up. I'm crying. I prayed. I picked up rubbish, but I feel left out. I want to help. I don't know how to help. I get those kind of texts. I get messages like that. People asking me how they can help. Kumu cards just sent me a box of cards to take up there. Shout out to Kumu cards. Just flash cards for Hawaii. Olelo Hawaii. So I try my best. I'm part of, I hope my classmate, Kepa Kaeo, is the Kanaka Ranger. People may see Kanaka Rangers up there. Again, there's different groups, different homies up there. Kapu Aloha. Aloha Aina. So again, just like everybody knows, there's different huis. I think it's impossible for one person to speak for everybody. And not everybody's Native Hawaiians. That's a federal recognition. That's the state, Washington, D.C. So, you know, understand language to understand people. How can people understand people if they don't understand the language? And, you know, I just touched that. That's, you know, I think that can touch on that subject, get some information from people that they can research. So take my sincerity for truth. You know, research my words. Look it up.
Yeah, that is very, very great advice. Definitely for everyone who's out there listening, definitely look up everything that's been spoken about. Just to
Hawaiian Kingdom. Yeah, Hawaiian Kingdom. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of our ancestors. The first country to be part of the European League of Nations, first non-white colored country, While other countries is having slavery, we're the first country to consider every blood, every race, every color one man. We had electric cars, we had our own currency, our own language, treaties all over the world from the 1800s. We traveled, our monarchy, you know, we had palaces, we have our own language, like I said. We had flushing toilets, we had electricity, generators, all before the White House was built. We had telegraph cables coming up from California all the way to Hawaii, Honolulu in the 1800s. We had lotteries so that we didn't have to pay taxes and infrastructure fees. All of that came from our lotteries, from our kings and queens. We had newspapers from all over the world in their languages. We spoke lots of languages, our people. Looked like we're from grass shacks. They make us look like we savages living in grass shacks. I still get that today. Some of my friends and family who asked that. And that's what it made it look like. It looked like we came with this little goofy toys at the luau. They come to the luau's and they make us look like we play with coconuts and stuff. Yeah, that was some of our things. But we also as navigators, we also as observers, a farmer's almanac at 8 moon phases reference. We got 30. We get one name for every moon phase, and it all does different. One name is, for example, we believe there's 2 full moons. The first one, you know, there's a rising and a setting full moon. The first one and the first 15 out of 30, so 15 and 16 of these are 2 full moons. One is on a rising and setting, similar to a waning and a waxing. And what I'm referencing is the moon after a second full moon called Kulu. And now since we're on the falling side of the moon, or you know, Kulu means to fall. So we're recommended not to plant plant plants that doesn't want to fall. Not to put up a fence or a roof. It's going to fall. Things fall down on those days. The thing is it's actually great for vines. So that is the second 10 days out of 30 days. And this 10 days, the second 10 days is considered 30 and go 10, 10, 10. So we're using the moon phases in sections. We call that Anahulu. Anahulu represents 10. But what I'm saying in this Kulu phase, for example, if you know what it means, that's what they named the moon. Through observation, they saw that the moon was a source. And everything else is a resource. So again, determine your source from the resources. You don't need no language, no words, no numbers, no contrast. And the moon's still going to do what I'm telling you on this moon phase. Next month, this month, and it's been doing it since the ancestors I talk about was alive. This moon is called Kulu. It's a certain phase. You got to learn how to identify and observe. You got to observe, absorb like a sponge. You must observe. You got to observe to absorb like a sponge. But Kulu represents falling. It's great for vines. The reason why I say that, just because it's in the name. If you go to the first 10 out of the 30, first 10 phases, the first Anahulu, there's a name in there called Ku. And Ku means to stand firm. So you need to plant. It's recommended that we plant stuff that wants to stand firm here. For example, a tree. In the last 10 phases, you have Kaloa. Ka means the, Loa means long. So that means it's great for long things, maybe a bamboo, a banana, sugarcane. So I'm just giving an example of how metaphysically scientific our ancestors was through observation, where they get 30 moon phases versus 8, and they specify each one with a name that represents what it does. Again, you learn people's language, you learn the people. It's impossible to learn people if you don't understand the language. Yeah?
Definitely. Well, we're coming up to the end of our show. Is there anything else you wanted to say as a final word?
I just would like to mahalo or thank, you know, you and Chris and your listeners for tuning in. My ancestors, you know, for giving me the opportunity to, the generations after us, the generations here today, you know, for the chance of this time and space. And check us out on Lele Olelo Hawaii. That's L-E-L-E, Lele. That means to burst or jump or even attack. Olelo, That's O-L-E-L-O. That means language. So we say Olelo Hawaii or Olelo Haole. That means on the language of Hawaii or the English language. Haole is, again, a foreigner or, you know, represents English in our language. So, and Hawaii, you know, H-A-W-A-I-I, with the W sounding like a V, like a reference. So, Lele Olelo Hawaii, we're on Instagram, Facebook. You can email me at Gmail. I'm Lele Olelo Hawaii. Check us out, like, follow, post, and share us if you can. You know, I'm grateful for the time, and I really appreciate everybody taking the time to listen. You know, if you guys are have an ear and you're willing to listen, then I'm grateful for that. You know, so thanks again for tuning in.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, mahalo nui from Hawaii. Again, support the Aloha Aina movement and other people in Mauna Kea. You know, it's bigger than what we might see. It's like a major thing going on in a major place. You know, sometimes minor things in major places. But yeah, it's big for a lot of people, a lot of cultures. It sets an example. We're out here in the middle of the Pacific. You know, all the support is always welcome. So again, thank you guys for reaching out and you know, letting us have a voice from out here in Hawaii. Thank Chris. Mahalo nui. Aloha.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Aloha.
You are still listening to Rose City Native Radio. I am still DJ Yellow Horse. That was an interview, very educational interview, but right now, you know, I'm going to play Emily Wuramara. This is Turtle Song.
Pagun